this was a word study on the word integrity. And what does this mean? So we have integrity, the pronunciation. It is a noun. Number one, completeness, wholeness. Two, unimpaired condition, soundness. The third is honesty, sincerity, and so forth. It sounds like something to strive for, doesn't it? Other words in the same family are integrate, which is a verb, means to make or become whole or complete. Second, to bring parts together into a whole. Third, to remove barriers imposing segregation upon. The word segregate is a verb that means to set apart from others. And finally, the other word disintegrate is a verb meaning to separate into parts or fragments or to break up. So all these words are there because they all have a similar basis. They're all working off of the idea of whole, which actually there's another word, integer, which means number, and it is a completeness within one. This all came about because a teenager asked the following question: how is it that a person can talk about God, Jesus, their church, their faith, how important it is to them, and then turn right around and talk about a wild party that they went to over the weekend or some other wild behavior that goes against what they were just saying about God? The answer is, we teach that your mind is like a house. For more information on that, you can look up the article, Who Rules Your House, which goes into that idea. This illustration can be used to answer the above question also. A college professor once made the observation that many students have trouble in physics because they keep what they know about calculus in one little room of their mind, and they keep what they know about physics in another little room, and they never let the information from one room cross over into the other room. So then we have a diagram of what that house looks like. You've got your little math room over here where your calculus stays, and you've got your little science room over here on the other side where physics stays. And there's a wall between the two. Their math and science information has been segregated. The college professor went on to observe that a student who can allow information to flow freely from one room to another has an advantage over the student that doesn't. This person can take the calculus knowledge from their math room over to their science room and apply it, and their house looks like this. There's free flow between the two. This person's math and science information has been integrated. So how does this apply to the teenager's question? Well, let's apply the same illustration. The average teenager and adult has a house full of relationships. They have a family. They have friends from church. They have friends from work. They have friends that they party with and other friends that they share sports or movies with. Maybe they have a boy or a girlfriend, or if they're an adult, maybe they have a spouse. Often, the person behaves one way with the teacher from school, another way when mom and dad are around, yet another way with their boy or girlfriend, and they act a particular way if their youth group leader or their pastor's in the room, and another way entirely if the friends that they party with are in the room. We could say that, as far as relationships go, their house looks like this. And what you see again is a house with all of its little segregated rooms where I'm one way here and I'm one way there. The relationships that make up their life are all segregated. So if this person has behaved differently with different people in their lives, what happens if this person is in a room with their parents and the teacher and their boy or girlfriend and their pastor and their school friends? If they feel the need to be a different person for all those people, they will disintegrate. They won't know who they're supposed to be. In fact, if a person acts differently according to whoever they are with, they may not know who they really are. They're trying to fit in and please others around them so much that they don't know how they actually feel about an issue, so they behave inconsistently. With one group of people, they say one thing. With another group of people, they do another. The Bible word for this is hypocrisy. The goal for a healthy teenager or adult is to have their beliefs integrated with their actions. God will have access to all parts of their life, and their house will look like this. And now you've got sort of a symbolic representation of your mind, with God having free access into all of the little rooms and relationships that make up your life. This person will not say one thing and do another. This person will not behave differently to fit in with different people. This person will live as one whole integrated unit because the things they do are the same things they say they believe in. This person will be known by others as a person of integrity. One of the people that looked at this pointed out to the kids, you do see that party is still in there, which is an important part in dealing with kids and also with us when we start this process. Our experience with God may have been, we may have reworded the Ten Commandments in thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And oftentimes kids view God as thou shalt not, just taking away things. Having God as a part of your life doesn't mean you don't have fun. Now, it may mean that there might be certain parties that you don't go to any longer. And it will definitely mean that there are things you used to do that you simply don't do anymore. There are things that you don't say anymore. And there are things that you don't think anymore. But God doesn't take the fun out of your life. It doesn't mean that you have to stop going to work or that you can never play softball ever again. It doesn't mean that you have to be a stick in the mud and not have fun. And that was an important point, I felt, that was made with the kids and also with adults. Finally, what we have are some related scriptures to this topic. The first one is from the Old Testament. And it's one that, for me, sinks in, and it's a real good one to ponder from time to time. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And that's from Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. We know even with the little ones that there are some that if you give them an instruction, they will do that. They will absolutely do their best to do that. And there are some kids that already don't take it very seriously. Even when we're a child, we're known by our doings. So we do want to be a person of integrity, which means that others around us know that we mean what we say and will do what we say, because we believe what we say. The next one is from the book of James. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So people around us, whether we're children, whether we're youth, whether we're adults, evil spirits in people and people's Holy Spirit discernment know if we are inconsistent, if we're preaching one thing and talking about God and what a good weekend we had with God, and we're letting evil spirits work. Even track one acquaintances that may not know what an evil spirit is will see and take note of inconsistency. And we don't want to have that type of inconsistency because we want to do what we say we believe in. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Jesus said that in Matthew 23:3. He was talking about the words of the religious leaders. This was also something that the youth group zeroed in on recently, that particular scripture, because one of the youth complained because another one of the youth gave them an instruction, and then to that youth's perception didn't follow it themselves. And they complained, you didn't do it. You told me to do it, and you didn't do it. And the point was, and the question that was asked is, were the words wrong? Well, no, but they didn't do it. Were the words wrong? No. And another child, pretty perceptive, said, isn't that hypocrisy? Well, it could be if indeed the other person said it and didn't do it. But what it really came down to is what Jesus said. If the words are right, do what they say, but don't do after they work their works, for they say and do not. So that is, again, the way to have integrity, to say it, to do it, because you believe it. You are integrated. You're not one way on the outside, another way on the inside, and some totally different way, depending upon the circumstance. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. That's from Proverbs 11:9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. This kind of goes along with that, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which is a lie, saying, because a hypocrite can destroy people with their mouth. A hypocrite, someone, and we probably can all look back on our experience growing up, we can probably all remember sometime when someone that claimed to be religious said some things that took us back and destroyed some faith in our mind, because we heard some words and our little discernment part of our brain, even in a lesser depth, went tilt. And it made us think, like Paul said, that the Gentiles looked at what the Jews said and said, that's God, who wants it? The name of God was blasphemed because of what the Gentiles were seeing the Jews do. We don't want to be a vessel that gives evil spirit in someone else opportunity or reason to find fault with God. Jesus also said in Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, it shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this does tell us that along with this deeper knowledge, there is a deeper accountability, deeper knowledge and deeper power. Jesus would not have said, be perfect, unless he brought in his ministry the means to do so. The deeper knowledge and the deeper power to be able to become perfected. But along with that is, you have to be more righteous than you were and than others are in a lesser depth of spirit. He says, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness needs to exceed that, even of the religious leaders. And the last one mentions the word hypocrisy. It's the one that we get as a tie-in so often, and it's kind of funny because it's such a long scripture, and the last word is the one that we're going after. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That was in Luke 12:1. So, again, Jesus said, beware of that. Another thing that James said was, don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. That's a small, specific example. But again, he was saying, beware of hypocrisy. We get a new message here. A lot of the words are the same ones that we heard, but it's a new message, as John said, because the light shines, the darkness is past, there's a way to do it. But if we say and even act, but we don't make the changes within, like Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup and the platter, the outside will take care of itself. If we say and even act, but we don't make the change from within, it's hypocrisy. And sooner or later, as we all know from experience, whatever little evil spirit we were hiding and thought we had covered up is going to spurt out, and probably all over us and someone else. And we just don't want to find ourselves in a position where we are a stumbling block to someone else's faith, and neither do we want to be hindered in our own growth. So part of this is because, you know, the words integration, segregation, they've really just kind of come to mean, have to do with race relations, but really it has to do with a way of life, being integrated. Say what you mean what you say, do what you say, and believe what you say, so that you're a consistent person, no matter who you're with, no matter what the situation, that God is able to work through me, and that I'm not presenting God through my old man.